Welcome to the Winning Edge Coach Podcast with your host, peak performance mindset and life coach, Kevin Oakley. In each episode, Kevin will share with you the tools, tips, and strategies to help you to be the best you can be.
Hey everybody, you're listening to episode 44 of the Winning Edge Coach Podcast, the podcast that aims to provide you with the tools, tactics, and techniques to allow you to live the life you were meant to live, to be the person you were meant to be. It is all about giving you the strategies to show up in the world and allow yourself to shine. In this episode, I'm going to give you three good reasons why you should let your children fail, how allowing your children to make mistakes can help them to grow and develop and to become better adults. Before we get started on episode 44, I want to give a quick mention to episode 43, where I discussed the four lessons I took from William H. McRaven's book, Make Your Bed, Feel Grounded, Think Positive in 10 Simple Steps, and how you could apply them to your life. Episode 43 and all the other episodes of the podcast are available on all the major podcast platforms. So if you've not yet had the chance, why not put some time to one side and give them a listen? If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to hit the subscribe button or like button so that you can catch all the future episodes. If your podcast platform allows it, please leave a review because that helps us to expand our audience and gets us seen. Also, tell your friends about it. Share the podcast on social media. Let's get the word out there. Let's share this information with as many people as we possibly can. The aim of the podcast is to make sure people aren't walking through life. I want people to live the life they were meant to live and bring forth their gifts, talents into the world. Let's get started with episode 44. In this episode, I want to discuss why allowing your children to fail is an important part of their development. No parent wants to see their child hurt or upset. And I just want to quantify that. By hurt, I mean emotionally hurt. All parents want to keep their kids safe, which is perfectly natural and perfectly understandable and perfectly right. However, we sometimes take that too far. And then we mollycoddle the children. We snowplow in front of them, is probably a term you've heard. We helicopter over them to make their path through life as easily as we can. Yes, it's perfectly natural to make sure they're not putting themselves in any danger or physically hurt. Being a parent is probably one of the hardest, if not the hardest job we will ever have. There's no handbook. You're not given a manual when your child is born to say, this is how to be a parent. Being a parent is made up of lessons we took from our own children, things we've picked up that we've read as we've gone through life, and then sometimes we just wing it, and there is no instruction manual, and it's the hardest job. But in terms of our kids, sometimes we take that job too far, and we try to make life too easy for them. On this subject, I really want to recommend a book by Jessica Leahy. It was the author of The Gift of Failure, How the Best Parents Learn to Let Go So Their Children Can Succeed. Jessica believes that by snowplowing in front of your kids or helicopter overing them to make their lives as easy as possible actually delays their development. We've all done it. I've done it where you don't want to see your child upset because they're struggling with the homework, or you don't want to see them hurt because they've done poorly in a test because they haven't revised properly or they don't know how to revise. You don't want to see them upset because they forgot to take their homework with them or they forgot the PE kit. I've heard stories where a parent got a call from the child because they left their homework at home. The parent has actually driven from work to home to get the homework and then dropped it at the school purely to keep the child out of trouble. It's hard being a parent, but by hovering over them, snowplowing in front of them, trying to make their lives as easy as possible, are we actually depriving them of valuable lessons and development that will help them later in life? And that's what I want to discuss in the episode today. I'm going to give you three reasons why you should let your children fail and stand on their own two feet to a certain extent, and how this could actually help them develop into better young adults, help them when they go into the world on their own. It will turn them into rounded individuals with valuable skills that they will make them more independent. Let's face it, none of us really want to let go of the kids. We dread the day when they, you know, leave home and go out into the world on their own. But do you want to raise kids who are actually can go out into the world on their own and only really come back to you when they need your help? Or are you going to have kids who go out into the world and are constantly then coming back to you for reassurance? Or actually, because you've never given them the opportunity to stand on their own two feet and make the mistakes, actually go into the world and then continue to be hurt or emotionally upset because they never learnt the strategies as a child to actually cope with these events and the tools and tactics to figure out what to do next. So I'm going to give you three reasons why you should let your children make mistakes and fail. Reason number one, allow your child to grow by letting go. As I said, being a parent is probably one of the most challenging roles you will ever have. And we're constantly looking for validation that we're doing that job right. And there's a lot of pressure on parents to see that their children are doing well. And as there is no manual to parenting, we're not given parenting lessons, we often look to exam results, test results, school reports as the validation that we're parenting correctly. Now, school is probably one of the hardest places to let your kids fail, but it's probably one of the best and most important places for them to learn how to take responsibility for their own lives and their own success. Learning to manage that environment of school, the assignments, tests, revision, homework, dealing with teachers and classmates will help them when they move on to university, workforce, and life in general. If they can learn the skills in the school environment, how to manage the time, how to take responsibility to make sure they've got their own work, to make sure that they learn how to study, that will serve them so well as they go and grow into young adults and into adults. Now, what I'm saying is, you don't withdraw your support completely. You've got to take a different approach, a different mindset. It's about being their coach, their mentor in a way, and having that stand back approach and making sure that they, over time, learn to put the systems in place to make sure that when they leave for school in the morning, they've got their own work. When they've got a test coming up, they revise and they put the time in and learn how to revise. And we don't do things for them. We don't prompt them every morning, have you got your own work? They should have the systems in place to have the homework with them. And it's only by occasionally us stepping back and them forgetting their homework or maybe not putting the time or effort into a test that they actually learn that, and some lessons have to be learned the hard way, that time needs to be put in, or time needs to be put in the mornings to check that homework is present. And there's another valuable lesson: the days they, for example, forget their homework, it's then having the ability to interact with their teacher, to actually say, to own up and take personal responsibility and say, I'm sorry, I forgot it. It'll be here tomorrow. It's a valuable life skill. By stepping in and helping them out, we're depriving them of the opportunity to develop valuable skills. It's a case of not withdrawing, but just stepping back and giving them the opportunity to make mistakes and learn from them. And also to experience what mistakes and failure feels like. It's very important early on to establish with your child that their studies in school are their responsibility, and then give them the tools and resources to help them to manage their time in school, to be able to solve the problems when they arise, and help them to recognise when they're struggling, how to deal with it. Give them the tools to deal with when they're struggling. And we'll talk about that in one or two of the other tips in a minute. And also, again, teach them to seek feedback. And we'll talk about that further. But be able to go to the teachers after an exam, after a piece of homework, and ask for feedback. Or even, more importantly, ask for help. And to be able to go and sit down and say, can I have some feedback on that? Or can I have some help with this? Or even just being honest and owning up and saying, sorry, I forgot. I forgot to bring my homework. I forgot my PE kit. And with those events, they experience that there are implications to forgetting your homework. But it will help them to grow as individuals. And as I said, this is not a case of withdrawing. This is a case of stepping back, but giving them the tools and the resources to be able to deal with those situations. Reason number two, teach your kids that there's no failure, only feedback. We live in a world where we're constantly exposed to the finished product. We watch athletes performing at the highest level impeccably. We watch artists perform on stage perfectly. We watch actors deliver lines absolutely faultlessly. But what we fail to see, or what we don't see, is the hours and hours of practice and mistakes that go into producing those polished performances. Children today, even more so than ever, because of social media, are exposed to their idols as almost perfection embodied, and don't see the work that goes into it and the mistakes that have been made on the way. The best lesson you can teach your child that there's no failure, only feedback. In fact, the time we learn the most is when we fail. And it's giving them the tools to be able to sit down with a poor homework or poor report or poor exam result, to be able to dissect what went wrong and put it right. It's been teaching them to be able to do that post-game analysis. So to be able to sit down and say, right, what would I do differently next time? How would I change my approach? What worked? What didn't work? Give them the tools to do a post-game analysis and then implement the changes. As I said, there's no failure, only feedback. And if you can teach your kids to go into life and to actually embrace failure as an opportunity to learn, take the lessons and move forward, it will stand them in so much good stead when they move through their life and leave home and no longer have you as the backup as a parent to be able to give them the tools and the understanding that there isn't failure. It's only feedback, and it will make them resilient. You will produce resilient adults who, when your time as a parent comes to an end, will have children that can go into the world, stand on their own two feet, will be calm, relaxed, resilient individuals, knowing that sometimes life doesn't go your way and things will go wrong. And then have the knowledge to be able to sit down and think, right, what will I do differently next time? How will I change my approach? That is one of the most valuable lessons you can give to your kids. As a parent, you need to see yourself more as a coach than as a parent. Being able to give them the tools to be able to perform in their arena and make progress and grow as individuals, instead of trying to step in, do it for them, protect them from the mistakes. Could you imagine never letting your child make a mistake during the entire time in school because you've either stepped in, snowplowed out of the way, or just done it for them? And then they get into the real world where you haven't got your support. You cannot step in the workplace. You cannot step in their personal lives and snowplow things out of the way. What the shock is going to be to experience those moments of failure for the first time when you're not prepared for it. Reason three. Now, reason three ties in very closely with reason two. Help your child to problem solve failure. We naturally want to step in when our kids fail. We want to rescue them. We don't want to see them hurt. We can, however, support them and do a rundown of what happened and what to try next. I believe that every problem has the seed of its own solution, and every failure contains a lesson, or more than one lesson. By allowing your children to encounter problems or mistakes, you build up their ability to either problem solve or learn from their mistakes or failures. They start to learn from a very early age how to problem solve or make slight changes to their approach so they can do it better next time. Think about it. When a child learns to walk, they do it by a series of mistakes and corrections. They will get up the first time, maybe fall down, they'll get up again, try it slightly differently, until they learn all the lessons around coordination, develop the strength that they can walk. At no point do we step in and say, oh, you're not going to walk, it's too dangerous. Yes, we might clear the path for them in terms of making sure it's safe, so there's no sharp edges, there's nothing they can fall and hurt themselves on. But the process of learning to walk, they do themselves. They take each step, learn how to balance. It is something they learn as over time and by themselves. And again, in life, it's a similar approach. As I said before, we don't withdraw, but we support. We act as their coach. So in the event of a poor result or a poor report, we sit and talk and say to them, yes, I can tell that was hard for you, but now you've been through it, what would you do differently next time? How would you approach it next time? It's adopting the philosophy of a coach as opposed to somebody who's just going to step in and do it for them. Instead of being directive or even doing it, you become their coach and you use the coaching language. So as I said earlier in the podcast, what would you do differently next time? How are you going to approach this differently? What systems are you going to put in approach that will help you for the next time this happens? As I said, don't solve the problems for them, but allow them to build up their critical thinking skills and develop a plan for themselves and a plan for failure. Allow them to explore what could go wrong and put the measures in place so that if it does go wrong, they've got a plan B or a plan C. So become your child's coach as opposed to the person that gets them out of that sticky situation or drives the homework to school. And the results will be dramatic. It will impact their later lives. You will produce well-rounded, mature adults who are used to encountering the problems in life and will not be anxious or stressed about it. They will have the tools in their toolkit to do it. That was the Winning Edge Coach podcast. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Winning Edge Coach podcast and you'd like to help support the podcast, please hit the subscribe button and if possible, leave a rating or a review. Also, please feel free to share the podcast with others and post about it on your favorite social media platform. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Twitter @WinningEdgePod. Thanks again. I'll see you next time.